And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to Guardian Talk Radio 96.9. Don't forget that when the show is over, you should be able to go and listen to it on our website. I think they're mostly all uploaded. Some of them aren't, we're working on it, but go to our website, which is www.nagb.org.bs. Go to the education menu, scroll down to Blank Canvas, and you can find the uploaded shows there. And let us know if there's one you're looking for and you can't find it, because sometimes, you know, they just get lost in the haze. And write to us at info@nagb.org.bs, and we'd be very happy to put that on. I got the email address right. I did. So this evening, we are speaking more broadly about culture. We are with the creative community, and the creative community that, in fact, extends outward from our small archipelago and into the United States and beyond. We have Wendy Coakley Thompson in the house. Good evening. Again.
Hi, good evening. Again.
Wendy Coakley Thompson is a writer. We spoke a little bit about some of the, well, her first book. We could talk about more of your books afterwards, and also a publisher. But you got to publishing because you didn't have such an awesome time.
No.
So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your story on finding a publisher, working with a publisher, how publishers, how international publishers, again, sort of look at us as a people and as a country and your frustration with that, and then sort of what happened.
Right. Well, when I finished Back to Life, I was looking for a publisher and was told, quite frankly, and this was like in the early aughts, that, you know, we really aren't looking for black books. Like, well, yeah. I didn't know books had a color.
Yeah, I know, right? But also like that, oh, people can't be interested in other people's stories.
I mean,
look at Arundhati Roy. What, we can't read books about Indian women because we're not Indian? Like, I find that. And then you think, if we're working toward a world where we can understand each other better, surely we need to get inside people's heads and skins, and we can do that. And literature is a fantastic way to do that, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, and you know, I think my reading palette is an extension of my diversity posse. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, by virtue of living now, you know, if you don't have you know, a bunch of folks from different cultures in your as your peer group, something is kind of wrong, you know, or something is different. I shouldn't, you know, value judge or whatever. So once I tried this route, and you know, I'm sure you're aware of the whole, you know, you send your work into agents and they become it's very Game of Thronesy, they become your emissary, and they go into the, you know, and winter was definitely winter was here, you know.
And finding an agent's hard, and finding an agent that even understands your voice and then can also represent you. They might want to take you on and love your story, but they might not do a good job selling it.
That's true. Or, you know, some of them I find are so intimidated by big publishing, like you know, and this was not my agent, because I eventually did get an agent, you know, she fought tooth and nail. But, you know, some of the deals they offer you, you know, if I can say, you know, having musician friends who get these deals, and you hear they have to sue their, you know, the N-word deal, as they call them. So once I was not getting any traction with the first iteration of Back to Life, at that time self-publishing was coming into its own. And so, I mean, I knew I wasn't going to make a whole group of money, but I wanted the story out there. So I initially self-published Back to Life. And then I'm a Delta, Delta Sigma Theta. So I went to the conference, and they had the Office Pavilion. I'm going to go to the Office Pavilion.
Fantastic.
Oh, it was near the toilet, which is quite a metaphor,
It really is.
Yeah. So one of the vendors there, she said to me, well, do you have an agent? And I said, you know, and I was like, no, and I don't,
exactly. Agents. I haven't found the right fit yet.
Yeah, agent. So she said, well, I know someone, and she's in Florida, and I can give her give you her card. I said, okay, sure, whatever. You know, just very attitudinal and very like, agents be damned, you know. So she gave me this lady's card, and after the conference, I looked her up, and she became my agent, and she went to Syracuse, so you know, much earlier than I did, of course. You know, so we ran the gauntlet, and it was, you know, people were rejecting the book for simple reasons. They didn't like it was set in New Jersey. They didn't like it was set in 1989. They didn't like the beginning of this. It's like, really, you know, they didn't like how Mark parted his hair. They didn't like he had blue eyes. It was like, oh, but no one said she's not talented. So you know, I tried to find So my agent, Janelle Walden-Ogerman, she ended up selling the book to Kensington Books. So I thought, at the show, I've arrived. Mm-hmm. You know, like you're a minor league player and you get called up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
Okay, then. You know, I probably should have managed my expectations because I think one of the reasons to go with a mainstream publisher is the distribution is phenomenal.
Of course. You can get into a lot of bookstores. Oh, yeah. You get to a lot of,
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got, well, of course, I got angry reviews from people from London. So I was like, it's an angry review from London.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yay!
So, yeah, talk about, putting some lipstick on that pig, So, worked with them, but, they're a huge house. They put out 70 titles a month.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Wendy Coakley Thompson became 170th of what they put out in the month of September of 2004.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that sometime can be, in fact, because, in the art business, very often I'm working with artists or I know artists that ask me for advice and they might be with a small gallery already and they get courted by a big gallery. And I always say, watch out because you're going to be the small potato in that gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And at the big art fairs, you're going to be in the closet. Mm-hmm. You're not even going to be literally. I mean, you won't be on the main wall. You'll be the... So, sometimes that is, in fact, you think, I'm now with the big house, the big publishing house, the big gallery. But in fact, they're not going to be paying the same attention to you as a smaller shop that where you're one of the stars as opposed to kind of one of the smaller players.
Right, and you nailed it. They had their stars. First of all, it was the African-American imprint, which, I felt, okay, if this is what I need to get and get down.
Sure.
But also, too, I think we talked about the universality of experiences, and so it became a big black book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So here again, 170th, and I'm limited by the lawsuit, what I can say. So I think I got the standard deal, and this was at the time when they didn't sell ebooks. Ebooks wasn't, 2003.
Wasn't a thing.
No,
right.
The Kindle wasn't invented. And I think you had to get a disc. You put the disc in your CD.
I remember. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then wait for it to go, wee!
I know, right? Yeah. You hear, wee!
Exactly.
Like, I can read now. I have to explain with the hand puppets for the younger kids.
Kids sound listen. I tried explaining black and white television to my children. They blew their mind.
Oh.
Or life without a remote control.
You have to actually get up. Your mother tell you to get up and change the channel.
So anyway, before ebooks, there were DVDs.
Yes. So you would put. So that was not included in the deals because that's germane to the discussion. So once we decided to part ways, they didn't renew my option. So, I don't know if you do this, but you Google yourself and, you go on Amazon and it's like, hey, there are ebooks for sale.
Mm-hmm.
What's this about? And more importantly, Wendy hasn't gotten paid for said ebooks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, alerted the publisher and, there was an acknowledgement that yes, yes, they are because you have eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, and this is where we get into the legalese, admitted, selling the books, we settled out of court. So, of course, when you sue your publisher now, you become persona non grata.
Yeah,
I guess it's your artist who sues, look at,
you
Pearl
become
Jam.
Difficult.
Yes.
Quote, unquote. Yes.
You nailed it. That was the D word, and difficult. And, of course, you have the angry black.
Well, I was just about to say, and I'm sure being difficult as a skinny white lady is one thing, but being difficult as a black woman is another thing altogether because people are going to make assumptions, right?
Oh, yeah.
And,
And they did. They want someone, I presume they want someone who's malleable and, will take what you give them and say, mother, may I have another, So as a result, was not able to find another publisher. And, I had self-published two other titles because you really want to keep your name out there. You Kensington enabled me to get a base, but you have to keep them.
Sure, of course.
So I don't know how Duo Books came about. I think it was just some weird drunken, I can do this. So it's one thing to say, I can have my own imprint, Plus also too, I come back and forth here and I see that many, writers who should have a larger, Marion Bethel, Ian Strawn, Patty Glinton McCullis, all these wonderful writers who talk about our culture, I think need to have a broader base. But also, too, I think they're very new voices out there. So, and people come up to you and they say, well, I've written a book. And you're like, really? Tell me about it. And then sometimes they do. You're like, oh, God, get me out of here. And sometimes they do. And you go like, wow, this is great.
Exactly.
So once I saw that there were a lot of younger people, because the Bahamas that Patty writes about is different from, a millennial.
Sure, of course.
Author.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know, well, this is something that I want to take on. You know, I want to introduce Bahamian writers, fiction, nonfiction. I think we don't do poetry, but it's not. I'm open to it. You know. Basically to show
I
folk.
Know a lady at UB that would disagree, who's got her poetry club.
Really?
I'll introduce you.
Okay, yes, I would love to meet her. And my cousin Zemi Holland is also a wonderful poet. But here again, too, poetry is making a huge resurgence. I have a friend, Kwame Alexander, who's amazing. He just won, I think he won the Newbery Award.
Oh,
he was
fantastic.
Just on Comedy Central. He wrote this poem, Take a Knee, you know.
Yep.
So, but back to us and
Bahamians. We're not here to talk about them.
I know. Right? He's got publicity up the wazoo, so he doesn't need me. So that was the birth of Duho Books. And, you know, I like the Duho.
Of course.
It's kind of a ceremonial seat.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. For those that don't know, but you really should. The throne, in a way, of the first people that were here before any of us.
Mm-hmm.
That all died, apparently.
I know. But also, too, it unites us across the basin, because when I was researching the kind of Duho I wanted to, you know, they're different. The Tainos will call something different in every island in the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think eventually I would like to expand, the diaspora at large, but I'm just going to stick with our people first.
Let's stick with our people first. Good for you.
Because,
I mean, you're right. Again, and that's something we try to do at the National Art Gallery. I mean, we're there first for Bahamians, of course, and our mandate is to preserve and promote Bahamian art. But we do invite people from the Caribbean, from the diaspora to join. Because, again, as much as we are different, we also share so much. And the more we understand how we share, I think the better our communities will be.
Oh, definitely.
And art and culture and writing, music, those are all ways to, again, share those stories, right?
Right. Because, you know, you can do a history lesson. What was Rogers giving you? Okay, I'm sorry. I'm up, you know.
Exactly.
But I think that, you know, once, and I don't know if we talked about the story of the blogger who he reviewed one of my books, and he asked me, why is there no Bahamian literary tradition? You know, and I was just like, well, just because you don't see it.
You don't know about it. Yeah, exactly.
So it's a dissemination thing. Yeah. And then when we all started dying, I was like, Derek Walcott died last year. I mean, V.S. Naipaul is still alive. But, you know, these voices of people who talk about living in the basin are dying off, you know. So this is an opening to have new voices come through. And I think people are more receptive now, you know.
So how do you find people? Did they find you?
They find me.
Yeah.
I found N.A. Cash through a friend of my, the author of My Name is Karma, one of the three Duho books. plug away.
Yes, we will. Yes. Absolutely. We shall highlight all three of them after the break.
Yes. I met her through a friend, and she was very open and eager, like a sunflower. This is my dream. I said, well, you know, I don't have any money. Duho is a startup. I put up all the blocks for someone to say no, and she said yes. So that's how I found her. But I found Marin just by chance, you know. But typically people would go to submissions at duhobooks.com and submit their work. And people have been doing that. And some
that's
of the work
great.
Has been
that's, great. That's a lot of reading you've got to do.
Yes, it's a lot of reading.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, some of it is good reading.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. Well, it's like with visual art. You just have to look at everything, and you have to be open and receptive to everything.
Oh, I've been to MoMA.
Yeah.
Where I've been like, okay.
Yeah, it's different. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, some of it doesn't get you and some of it does, but you have to look at everything.
Yeah.
And I think the more you look and the more you read, the more you hone your own skill, right?
Right. And you have to be respectful that this is someone's self-expression. Mm-hmm. You know, even now you have to be able to write, you know.
Right.
Once you get that down, if this is your way of I'm sure someone looked at James Joyce's Ulysses and was like, what the heck is this? But it's you, James, you doing James, and we'll, you know, have everybody else publish it. We'll publish it and everyone else. What the hell is this?
Exactly, but please let's not have anyone else write like him.
Yes.
I can only manage one of those books a year.
So, one of a kind.
Exactly. And so we are going to take a short break, and afterwards we're going to hear more from Wendy Coakley Thompson, who has started Duho Books, a publishing house that works with Bahamian writers. And that's so exciting for us that there's more people taking us and our culture out into the world. And when we come back, we'll learn more about each of the books you have at Duho
Lovely.
Books.
Yes.
And you'll hear about that after the break. You're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this short break.